general government first, and I'm going to open a hearing on Senate Bill 563. It's only going to take a couple minutes, I have a feeling, I hope, I pray. Judith is going to tell me 10 seconds worth of what it's about for the public record, and then Senator Beyer will launch forth.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 563, you have in this instance before you the Dash 1 amendments, which replace the original bill. The Dash 1 amendments require water utilities to mail notice of a water bill delinquent for more than 120 days to the persons listed as the owners of the property that are listed as they're noted in the county property tax records. It requires the notice to be mailed to the addresses of the owners listed in the tax records, and applies to water utilities operated by public utilities, municipalities, cooperatives, or unincorporated associations. We do have a no revenue and a no fiscal on the Dash 1 amendments. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator Beyer, would you like to make a quick comment?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, I'm Roger Beyer, State Senator, District 9. Very quick comment on the Dash 1 amendment. I've worked with the cities on this amendment. They are in agreement with it. That gets us almost to where we need to go. I think the rest of it is actually, and I'm holding up, I'm not distributing it, but it's a copy of what the Realtors Association recommends their realtors to use in the sale of property. So if you buy a property with the use of a real estate agent, you will see a number 20, or I will see, that sellers shall pay all utility bills according to date buyers entitled to possession. That is part of the notification that the real estate agents use in this state. It is not state law. It is not required disclosure by state law, but it gets us pretty close to where we need to
be. Part of the contract.
It's part of that contract. This amendment would require that a landowner, in the case of a tenant, landowner-tenant situation, to be notified if their tenants are not paying the water bill, which will get to the other part of the issue. I'd also like to point out for the record that there is a Supreme Court case on this exact issue. It was a case in 1973. It was known as, I don't even know how to tell what it was, actually it was not a Supreme Court, it was a Court of Appeals. Anyway, it was a City of Portland case, and the Oregon Court of Appeals ruled that water is not attached to the property. It is a personal thing. So, in fact, city waters districts would not be allowed to refuse water service to someone, such as a new owner, coming into a property. So, Mr. Chair, I think this Dash 1 amendment is something the cities, and I think, fixes the problem we have today.
Other questions?
Okay, Mr. Chair,
yes.
Just clarification with Senator Beyer. The cities pretty much are okay with it, or you just think that should help it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Verger, I work with the League of Oregon Cities on these amendments, and they are in agreement with these amendments.
Thank you very much.
And if, Willie's here, that should help.
Sorry, Mr. Chair, a little late arriving, but...
That's okay. You were last on the list, but you know what we're going to do.
I'm Willie Tiffany with the League of Oregon Cities, and Mr. Chair and Senator Verger, yes, we are in full agreement, and we very much appreciate Senator Beyer's willingness to work with us on this issue.
And Mr. Chair, yes. There were several cities that we have in our packet that were opposed, so want to be sure about that.
Okay. That's correct, Mr. Chair and Senator Verger. We've been in contact with those folks, and they're okay with it.
Very good.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. We are in work session.
We are?
Yeah, we are. And there happened to be... Didn't I open a work session?
I don't know.
Well, if I didn't...
listening.
Nobody would. Nobody listened. That's why I want anonymous up here. all right. He says we didn't. There was one citizen listening. None of us, you know. We'll close the hearing, open a work session, Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, thank you very much. I'd like to move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 563.
Senator George moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 563. Are there any questions? Any discussion? Any disagreement on adoption of the Dash 1 amendments? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to move Senate Bill 563 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 563 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And I'm assuming Senator Beyer would like to carry that bill.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to close a work session on Senate Bill 563, and I want to make a couple announcements. We will not be dealing with Senate Bill 471 today or Senate Bill 556. So if you're here on either of those bills, you can have a cup of coffee or whatever else you happen to be drinking at this time of day. So all of a sudden, we're about halfway through our agenda. Don't get up your hopes, folks. I think I'll go back to 363 real quickly. I'm going to ask Judith, I'll open a public hearing, and I'll have Judith remind us about this bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Senate Bill 363 modifies disclosure requirements of lottery game retailers. You have before you the Dash 1 amendments that allow the director to recommend and the commission to conclude when it is reasonable to waive those disclosure requirements. And it applies the disclosure requirements to three different sets of folks. First of all, directors that own or control 3% or more of voting stock. Second of all, stockholders that own 10% or more of outstanding stock. And third, general partners, limited partners, joint ventures, and members of a limited liability company with investment or membership interest of 10% or more in the company. We have a no fiscal, no revenue impact on the measure. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Judith. We've got Bill Perry and Brian Daugherty here. I'm going to ask them to come up and explain why we're doing this as quickly as makes sense.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Bill Perry. I'm with the Oregon Restaurant Association, and I'll lead off because I've actually been working this bill for several different sessions. We've worked with the past administrations to get this passed, and what this bill does is really move more in line with what we already have in place with the Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And what they're trying to get at is right now, anybody that has any ownership interests at all, even somebody that might have loaned somebody $5,000, is required to have a background check before they can get a lottery license. But there are several cases out there where it's just like a loan, borrowed money from somebody, and you have absolutely no ownership interest or no operations decision-making process. And so a lot of times they're saying, well, why do I got to do a background check on this person if they're never going to walk in the business? They just happen to loan somebody $5,000 to start it. So what this does is you still have to disclose that to the director, and then the commission can establish some guidelines to where if you can prove that there's no owner or no operational or management input from that person and they're just a small percentage stockholder, that the director can get authorization from the commission to say you don't need to do a background check. But one of the things, if they are going to come in the business ever, they're probably still going to have to get their background check. And this is less of an issue, I think, sometimes with my members, and Mr. Daugherty is going to speak to some of the others, but as you get into publicly traded companies, different like mutual funds will buy a percentage of stock, and they don't want all their stockholders to have to be subject to a background check. It has inhibited some of the sales in these companies. So with that, I'd happy to answer any questions or wait till Mr. Daugherty's done, whatever is preferred by the chair.
Other questions?
I don't have a question, Mr. Chair, but it's obviously that they don't have the prerogative just to do it. You have to get a waiver. I mean, you have to go before the commission, isn't that right? And they have to agree. And
Senator Berger, Chair, what I think will happen is that the commission will set out a set of guidelines that allows them to waive it. Once again, I have to, anybody that has a financial in my interest in my business, I have to give it to them. And then it would be basically the between the owner and the chair to say, okay, are they ever going to make any management or operational decisions? And if they're not in a small percentage, then they would be able to waive it. So it would be hopefully a cost-saving measure. This is already in existence with the Liquor Control Commission on their liquor license. So these people already get a liquor license. Certain of them get waived. Then they go to lottery commission, and then they don't get waived. And so it would just be, they would still be an individual decision by each agency. But
follow up, Mr. Chair, but
yes,
there's a
Senator
process
Burgess.
Outside of the business owner that he has to go through to get the waiver.
I would have to disclose that to the director, and then the director would then make a choice whether or not they want to waive it.
Mr. Chair, Brian Doherty, representing the Western States Petroleum Association. I'll be brief. Bill Perry has told you the situation. Let me tell you the real-world incident that occurred this last summer, despite all the help the lottery could give me. I represented ConocoPhillips, who owns now Circle K Stores. As part of Conoco buying Phillips, who bought Tosco, who bought Circle K...
Would you like to say that three times very
fast? Yes, very fast. We had a situation in which half the 40 stores that they had, convenience stores with lottery machines, were sold to a company called Couche-Tard. Everybody in Couche-Tard had to submit their names, and because of the statute, you had to have everybody go through a background check. We got through that piece. ConocoPhillips is an internationally traded company. One of its 240 subsidiaries is KO Oil that owns these 20 stores that remain that do not have lottery machines now, because not only did the 23 officers and directors of KO, which we were happy to give, fill out background, criminal background checks, but now all the officers and directors of ConocoPhillips, who are based in Houston, have to fill out these. Some of these directors are from Kazakhstan, Australia. They are the president of Florida State University. In addition to that, because Franklin Templeton Funds owns more than 5% of ConocoPhillips, they told us we have to have all the officers and directors of Franklin Templeton Funds fill out criminal background checks. It's just not going to happen. So we have 20 stores without lottery machines at this time. All we ask for is director and commission discretion, and I think Senator Verger said it right. We disclose all these names. We give them everybody, all the board names, all this information, and allows the director to recommend and the lottery commission to exercise discretion to protect the Oregon lottery is their basis. But it allows them the discretion to say, enough's enough. We're comfortable with this level. We don't need this level. No other state has this requirement that I know of, and our companies are in all 50 states that have this depth of criminal background checking, which the lottery, with the Dash 1 amendments, has supported the bill, and I think you have a letter from Director Penn indicating that he supports this with the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay. I don't have any such letter, Mr. Chair. If Mr. Doherty represents the letter should be here, then I assume it's...
If you don't, I'll have it to you. I picked it up myself. I don't think that's...
Well, this is the one that turned in.
The one...
I have a very short... I thought I had got it to you, and I can get you a copy. I picked it up myself, and it's a very short letter saying that he's read the Dash 1 amendments and supports the bill.
Yeah.
I'll save you the time. I happen to have a copy of it in my file, so it must have got someplace.
Yeah. Mr. Doherty's a good lawyer, and he makes a representation. It would be true.
And giving it to me is somewhat like throwing it away. Okay. Any questions? So we've got these Dash 1 amendments, and we've got no questions. We are in, I hope, this time. We're in here. All right, so we're going to, if there's no questions, I'm going to close the public hearing and open a work session.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I would like to move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 363.
That would be a moving experience, I'm sure. Okay, Senator George has moved to Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 363. Is there any objection to these Dash 1 amendments?
Mm-mm.
Seeing none, they are adopted. Senator George.
With that adoption, Senate Bill 363 as amended, I would recommend that we send it to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 363 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered, and Senator George, I'm sure, would just love to carry the bill. Since I've never messed with a lottery game in my life, I wouldn't be the one to do so. And neither have you.
But
so
if we could,
got a couple experts on this.
If we could make it easier on our dealers, I would be happy to hear it.
You want to make it easier on the dealers. Well, I won't go there.
Okay.
I will restrain myself. Did we're going to
retract what I said.
We're going to open a. Let me make this statement. In about 10 minutes, I'm going to open a hearing, not a hearing, a work session on House Senate Bill 929. We're going to deal with that in about 10 minutes. So if you're here for that, that's the schedule. These might not. Okay. A quick little fast one would be Senate Bill 477. I'm going to open a work session on Senate Bill 477. Committee, just see if you can dig through your pile and pull up 477. Would you please?
Mr. Chair, members, Senate Bill 477 requires specifications for subcontracts for public works to contain provisions on prevailing rates of wage. It prohibits a public agency from paying a contractor on public works until that contractor files certified payroll statements with the agencies. It prohibits a contractor from paying a subcontractor on public works until the subcontractor files those same certified payrolls indicating that prevailing wages are being paid. You have before you the Dash 1 amendments. The Dash 1 amendments require every contract and subcontract for public works to contain a provision that workers will be paid at least the specified minimum hourly rate of wage. It allows a public agency to retain only, in this case, 25%. So instead of withholding 100% of payment, it allows them to retain 25% of any amount earned by the contractor on the public works until the contractor has filed the required certified payroll statements. It allows a contractor to retain 25% of any amount earned by a first-tier subcontractor on public works until the subcontractor has filed the required certified payroll statements. And it requires a contractor to verify that the first-tier subcontractor has indeed filed those required statements before paying the subcontractor any amount retained. That is 25%. So,
yeah, it's making my head.
We have received a no revenue and a minimal fiscal on those dash ones. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Is there?
Mr. Chair, is the dash one a consensus amendment?
That's fine.
I got to put my glasses on.
Commissioner
Gardner's
here.
Commissioner Gardner doesn't. Well, we don't want him up here, do we?
Yeah, no.
We want him up here. He'd rather have the bill, I think. Yeah.
Okay, consensus amendments.
These are consensus amendments.
AGC is nodding their heads.
AGC is nodding their heads. Where is AGC? Oh, you got to nod more in your head. I can't see them back here.
Usually it's just.
They should never sit in the back row where you can't see them, you know?
I'm happy.
This solves a problem. You're happy. I'm happy. Anybody else happy? All right. Senator, we are in a work session. I actually opened the right thing this time. In a minute, I'm opening a can of worms, but for now, I'm opening a... I just said that for the guys in the back row back here. Go ahead, Senator
Chair,
George.
Thank you. I'd like to move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 477.
Senator George moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 477. Is there any discussion?
No, this gets me where I wanted to be because I thought that other was going to be difficult.
I thought you said there wasn't going to be any discussion.
Oh, okay.
The sentence would have ended with no.
No.
Okay. You interrupted my script here. Seeing no discussion or objection, they are so ordered. Senator George, now I allow you to talk.
Thank you very much. I'm blushing right now. I would like to move Senate Bill 477 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 477 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. And I'll carry this bill, Senate Bill.
My name's up.
Oh, yours? Darn, I'm sorry. You're happy. You get to carry it.
My name's on that one. I'll carry it.
My apologies. I just like the good commissioner back here so much. I like to carry his water for him.
That's why my name's on the
That's why your name's on it. you got a bigger bucket or what? I don't know.
If you're carrying water, are you paid at the proper rate?
Huh? Yeah. Is she getting prevailing wage for this? Okay. I said 5 minutes, but I lied. We could start now, couldn't we?
That's right.
Okay. Let's open a work session on Senate Bill 929. and oh boy, lots of people leave. I'm in favor of racing frogs and frogs only. I just want to be on record. But there's a whole lot of people that are interested in much more than that. I hope that my legislative aide is listening, because I'd like her to come down just in case I get lost in the middle of this mess.
Oh, what a mess.
Yes, this is just so much fun. We've got dash 1 through 6 or 7 or something, and 1 through 6. And this is just part of my file in 929. So,
It says on this chart that I struck a compromise last session. I don't remember that. I must have.
Well, you must have been here. That's all I know. Do you want to try to set a context for this?
Okay.
She doesn't sound certain at all. Oh, if you want.
Well, and do you want me to go through the details of the 9s and 6s?
Is that what we're going to do? We're going to go through the details of the 5s and 6s. I imagine that meets That's with most people's...
my understanding.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. The dash 5 amendments. Well, let's set the general context. Senate Bill 929 prohibits the Oregon Racing Commission from granting a race meet license to an applicant who is required to obtain a recommendation from a county or city governing body unless the governing body recommends granting the license. Prohibits the licensee from offering off-race course mutual wagering unless specified conditions are met. It changes the percentage of mutual wagering required to be distributed by certain race meet licensees to the associations, and it eliminates a prohibition on conducting off-race course mutual wagering at times other than live race times. You have before you a number of amendments. It's my understanding we're focusing today on the dash 5s and dash 6s. We had been expecting a dash 7, but that's not out of legislative council, but I will describe that concept as well. The dash 5 amendments delete section 1 of the original bill and instead allows each horseman's association, subject to approval by the Racing Commission, to use a portion of the purse supplements for operating expenses and other benefits for horsemen. And it's my understanding the Dash 5s are coming from Mr. Dave Nelson. The Dash 5 amendments require the race meet licensee to conduct at least 720 live races during each fiscal year. It applies the number of live races requirement to fiscal years beginning on or after the effective date. It allows the Racing Commission to reduce the number of required races upon application by a horseman's association that negotiates with the race meet licensee. It removes references to ORS 462.055 and inserts a reference to 462.067 with respect to conducting off-race course mutual wagering, and also inserts not only in accordance with the appropriate statutes but also commission rules. It restores the commission's authority to grant one race meet licensee that is a holder of a license under ORS 462.062 or 462.067, sorry for those statutory references. I know those are difficult to follow for the audience. To conduct off-race, so it restores the commission's authority to conduct off-race course mutual wagering on the race. It provides exceptions to the commission's authority for allowing such wagering on either horse races or greyhound races. Those exceptions include: a horse race meet licensee may conduct an off-race course mutual wagering on greyhound races only if there is no active greyhound race meet licensee, and a greyhound race meet licensee may conduct off-race course mutual wagering on horse races only if there is no active horse race meet licensee. It deletes Section 6 prescribing an effective date and instead declares an emergency effective on passage. Mm-hmm. The Dash 6 amendments do all of the above. I understand that this comes from Mr. Romaine. And in addition to what we just described, the Dash 6 is also delete the prohibition, so in other words, allows the Oregon Racing Commission to grant a racing date that would cause greyhound racing conducted by the licensee to occur within the state in more than 7 months of a calendar year. And it allows a race meet licensee to conduct off-race course mutual wagering in accordance with statutes and commission rules. And finally, restores the race meet licensee's ability to apply to the commission to conduct off-race mutual wagering, so therefore it deletes the subjecting the application to ORS 462.055. It's also my understanding that the other iteration that we don't have before us would be the Dash 7s, which it's my understanding would be just as I described for the Dash 6s, except that it's expanding the greyhound racing season to 10 months. So those are the amendments before us. I will remind you that this bill does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You mean to schlep it somewhere else?
No. We want to remove that, don't we?
Pardon me?
Haven't we talked about that? Where is Sarah? You're hiding. Just nod. Hadn't there been some conversation about removing that?
Mm-hmm. Removing
the referral.
And there's a rationale. I've actually heard from one person, at least, that got a pink slip at Portland Meadows, because if this thing gets lost, does not pass, or whatever, by the end of the month, I don't know how many people lose their jobs. Right where?
Well, as the Oregon Racing Commission has explained, the bill must be well on its way to the governor by the end of April, or the off-race course wagering system will be required to be closed and employees laid off. It doesn't say how many employees. This is a letter from Mr. Nelson. Judith.
Go ahead. Judith, you look like...
Well, I might suggest you call individually Mr. Nelson and Mr. Romaine to...
Individually? I want them up here to warm wrestle.
Okay, that's your...
We'll have them both come up at the same time.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yes.
That's how Senator George would handle it, too.
Okay, well, then...
And since he's my hero. And if you guys get in a fight, I'm going to have my very capable... legislative aide deck both of you.
Your very large assistant.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
We have never fought.
Never have.
Never.
Never.
How many people actually would get laid off, do you think, in your best guesstimate out there at Portland Meadows? I mean, I heard from one, and so it kind of put a different twist on me.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dave Nelson, representing Magna Entertainment, the operator, Portland Meadows. Portland Meadows' season as a live race meet season actually closes the end of April. So the off-track employees around the state, there are, I think now, I'll tell you, 18 off-track that would continue to operate through the course of the summer, and those off-track wagering facilities would be closed as far as off-track wagering facilities would be, and all the employees associated with the off-track operation would be laid off for the period until the bill would be acted on and brought back.
Okay.
An exact number, I can't give you.
I was asking 100, for a guess, 100?
Yeah, 100 or more.
Okay. That's, I mean, to me, since I need some real reason to care about any of this racing stuff, employment for people is as important a consideration as anything. Okay. Let me give each of you a chance to briefly make a case, very briefly make a case for Dash 5 and Dash 6. I thought you were going to be totally in harmony. I thought you were going to have a total compromise.
That's Dash 7. We'll talk about that later.
That's the Dash 5, Mr. Chair.
See what I mean? These guys are good.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dave Nelson again with Magna Entertainment Corporation. We did spend quite a bit of time discussing the issues in the Senate Bill 929 that was encompassed in Senate Bill 929 with Mr. Romain. And let me say that we have been friends for a long time, and we have a great deal of admiration and respect for the Greyhound people of the state. As we explained in the original hearing, it's just simply an economic issue that we were faced with. The Senate Bill 929-5 amendments, let me step back and say Senate Bill 929, was an effort in order to give some security to Magna Entertainment to continue to operate horse racing in Oregon, and was viewed as an effort to gain excess protections, if you will. And so we dropped all of those in the -5 amendments and the -6 amendments, and I believe what I heard from the committee administrator in the -7 amendments, all of those protections were deleted from Senate Bill 929, and that's the deletion of Section 1. So there were then, following through that, some amendments that were made that were consistent in Mr. Romain's amendments and in Magna's amendments. The only difference remaining as far as an agreement between Mr. Romain and Magna is the current statutory status quo 7-month limitation that was enacted in the 2003 legislative session as a compromise at that time when we brought a bill in to eliminate an overlap, a prohibition against overlapping seasons between horse racing and dog racing. It was Magna's view that since we owned both the Greyhound track and the horse track, that we ought to be able to decide whether we wanted to overlap ourselves. And in that that bill, we eliminated the statutory limitations on the amount of racing that could occur. The legislature, primarily the Rules Committee, chaired by Senator Brown and Senator Burdick, and with opposition from Senator Walker to the elimination of that limitation on the amount of months that could be that Greyhound racing could occur in, worked out an agreement with the Racing Commission whereby they said, what is the longest period of time that Greyhound racing has ever occurred in the state of Oregon? The Racing Commission answered that that was 7 months, and so that 7-month limitation was put into the statute in 2003. In our amendments, the -5 amendments, we chose to stay with that compromise and not try to expand that. Mr. Romain's amendments, the -6 amendments, eliminate that limitation and extend Greyhound racing, live Greyhound racing, to 12 months a year as a possibility. And I understand -7 amendments would back that off to a 10-month limitation on the season. Again, our preference would be to stay with the agreement that we made in 2003 and to stay with the 7-month limitation.
Mr. Romain.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Paul Romain, and I'm an attorney in Portland, and I represent the Oregon Greyhound Association, and I'm always interested in compromises when I was never part of the compromise, but such is life. It's much easier. We did not participate in the negotiations 2 years ago over this. This was not something that we were brought into. So basically, in statute right now, you do have a 7-month limitation, but you're changing the statute now. And so what we are trying to do is get to a point where the state gets out of trying to favor one versus another and lets economics dictate who wins and who loses, or maybe both win, or maybe both lose. We don't know. What happens now with your new bill is the sum total of it is that Magna will be able to get year-round simulcasting as long as there is no Greyhound racing. And frankly, since they control the track, the only track in the state where there is Greyhound racing right now, there is not going to be any Greyhound racing for at least a year, probably 2 years. So they're going to be getting all the Greyhound simulcasting during that entire period of time. It's a lot of chunk of change for really not a lot of effort. What we do in the -6s and what I proposed in the -7s as a compromise, as the chair asked us to try and go out and sell, is some kind of realistic deal that sort of gets government out of favoring one versus another and lets the economics take its course. The reason you originally got into favoring one versus another was simply protectionism. You basically divided things up. Horses raced in this time, dogs raced in that time, never the two shall compete. And the day and age of that is pretty much gone. What we're saying is we should be able to race when it's economically feasible. From a dog standpoint, it's better to keep them in the state of Oregon. If we're racing 7 months here, that means that really we're going to be shipping them out of state to other places where they're not under the same kind of protection as we get from the Oregon Racing Commission, which is great protection, as you heard last time, for the dog. It's actually a lot better for the animal to stay in the state of Oregon and with either 350 days or 10 months as proposed in the Dash 7s, that's exactly what it would be. It doesn't affect the horses one iota, and we're not asking and never have asked for anything that would affect the horses either positive or negative. The reason that MAGNA is afraid of it is it might, and I say might, make it more attractive for somebody to come in and maybe build a new track. Maybe. But again, it's all speculation. And if you remember the original reason for 929, it was an economic issue. And basically what they were trying to do is assure themselves that there would not be, under any circumstances, any competition from the dogs for the simulcasting. We came back and proposed, let's just go breed for breed. If we come in, if we get lucky, if there's somebody who has the money and wants to invest in a new track, a new facility, regulated by the commission, in the state of Oregon, then all we're saying is, and we would keep the Greyhound simulcasting revenue. They can have all the horse stuff. If not, they get every bit, and they get all the Greyhound simulcasting too. It's the fair way to go. We would highly recommend the Dash 6s. We're practical. We would go with the Dash 7s, which you don't have in front of you right now, but my understanding is the only difference is 10 months versus 350 days. And the reason we took 350 days is that's exactly what the horses have. We're not asking for any special favors. Thank you.
Questions of the gladiators?
I sent out a very unscientific poll. I send a capital report to hundreds of people. So I asked them two additions, one after the other, what they thought about should we have racing dogs. And I have to tell you that my district was totally uninterested in any of it. They didn't care if you had horse racing or dog racing because they don't have them in my district. So my unscientific poll was not very successful. What I did get, though, was stacks of email supporting horse racing and stacks of email asking me not to approve of any dog racing at all.
Mm-hmm.
That might be an organized effort, Paul, but I can tell you that we were inundated with asking us not. One of the things that confuses me is that my understanding is that Portland Meadows is for sale. That's not true.
No.
Okay. Because that would be confusing to me if we are trying to work out a compromise here about how many days you're going to be able to race. And then also, there is no dog track. So that's my confusion. If Portland Meadows were up for sale and there was no dog track, why would we be having this conversation?
Mr. Chair, can I correct my no? Because I recall that Portland Meadows has had discussions with the Grand Ronde tribe of Indians over this whole business of casinos, racinos in Portland, and the casino that's proposed to be developed in La Center, Washington, which is a half a billion dollar complex that is targeted at the Portland Clark County market as far as a huge casino up there. So discussions have taken place over the possibility, if the governor would ever approve the land that Portland Meadows sits on, which is currently owned by 16 or 18 undivided interests who are the heirs of Bill Weinberg and auto dealers in Vancouver's across the river named Gilberts and Seibels. They own the property. It's divided up in this ownership. That doesn't affect the operation of the racetrack. It's a lease. So whether the property is sold or not, the lease is a perpetuity lease for the racing operation. As long as a race is run in any given year, that lease cannot be broken. So it's a...
Senator George.
Mr. Chairman, I have one issue here, and that issue is economic development. In any industry that's in Oregon, I don't want them leaving, and I'd like to grow some new ones. And I would be willing to bring in your racing frogs if we could. Because I'm going to tell you, I went out and I spent some time with a neighbor. I mean, they're 1 mile from my house. And what do? They take care of racehorses. And we had the opportunity to be down there. We looked at the horses. We saw people coming in and out, bringing horses in for care. And I'm sitting there thinking, oh, gosh, what an economic generator this is. And many of us, a former senator from Washington County, had visions of someday this being the Kentucky of the West Coast. And I still have that vision. But there's something else, too, as part of this thing, and that is the dog breeders, the folks that are associated with this industry, just as you've talked about. Now, my feeling is very simple on this. If Magna is going to phase out the dogs, and the dogs have a chance with an equal amount of days, 350 or something like that, I want them to have an opportunity to stay in Oregon, be competitive, and maybe solicit the construction of a new facility if Magna doesn't want to do that. So I guess I'm asking both of you, can you help me to understand how we preserve both of these operations?
If I might, Mr. Chair.
Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, you preserve it by basically giving everybody an equal opportunity. That's the way you do it. I mean, you basically say, look, it's up to economics. It's up to the marketplace to decide. And you know what? If I were a betting man right now, in spite of my clients who are sitting in the back room probably ready to throw darts at me, I mean, I would probably say, you know, the odds of somebody coming in and building a Greyhound racetrack in the state may not be all that good. We don't know. But there are some people that we've been in discussion with, and you received a letter from one of them. It is something that could be economically viable. A new track might be something very good, perhaps coupled with NASCAR when it comes in, and I know that's something that people have been talking about that's done in Florida. It's done at other places where you couple it with other kinds of amusement. There may be a way to put it together. What the Dash 6s do, and frankly, same with the Dash 7s, because realistically you're not going to run more than 10 months anyway, is at least keep the opportunity open and doesn't have the state, by legislative fiat, picking a winner and a loser. And that's all we're saying. Just don't, by legislation, pick a winner and a loser. Economics may do that, but don't by this do it. Now, it's actually kinder to the dogs if you basically say no dog racing. You know, if you want to do that, that's something you could do. I don't recommend you go that way.
I have a Dash 3 amendment.
Thank you very much. I realize. No, but that's, it's sort of, but that, I can understand that choice more than I can dividing it up between a year or 10 months or 7 months. At least that way you're saying we don't want it or it's okay. Economics will dictate. So my strong recommendation to you, in spite of my good friend Mr. Nelson's pleadings, Dash 7s, we're not up to Dash 10 yet, thank God. Dash 7s or Dash 6s preserve the opportunity for both. Dash 5 still puts it a little tentative.
Mr. Chair, if I may have my stab at that, and then I think you're going to have to...
Senator George's question, so
yes,
you want both of them talking to you, right?
I'd like to have both sides of this.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Senator George, I think you're down to the issue with the racing industry in the state of Oregon of having one industry that can be economically viable. Both of them, I think Magna has demonstrated, cannot be economically viable. I think we've shared with you the numbers that that we have lost. That we have invested about $28 million in the state in various trying to be good citizens environmentally, as well as investing heavily in the plant and the equipment. And we've proven to ourselves that given the competitive gaming environment in the state of Oregon, that both racetracks cannot be economically viable. And so our decision was one of economics and one of the trying to preserve that portion of the business and grow that portion of the business that seems most economically viable, that contributes the most to the state of Oregon, and that's the horse racing segment. So I think the economy has selected, if you will. And I think that the issue is unfortunately one that where we've come to a period of time where we can only sustain one. Expanding racing from 5.5 months to 12 months is kind of like expanding the Portland Trailblazers from playing 60 games to 365 games. The fan base wears out and the economics of it deteriorate. So there's a limited attention span in the fan base.
Not if they're winning.
Well, right now my horse is not winning.
if I might just, Mr. Chair, that same argument could be made about expanding horse racing from where you did to now. It's
which
we support. That's fine. We think it's a good idea to let economics dictate when they run. And, you know, if there's other factors, then fine. But again, we weren't part of the thing 2 years ago. We would like the opportunity, as everybody in the state of Oregon liked, to fail on our own, not with your assistance. Thank you.
Are we in work session,
but I want to continue some discussion for a minute. I understand somebody just suggested we move your amendments there a second ago. I don't want to get excited just now. I want to push this economic viability issue a little further, and I think that Steve Walters isn't here, but Jody Hansen is here. Where is she? Jody, would you come up for a minute? I just want to push that, and I don't know. My legislative aide, Sarah Chifo, has been doing all the negotiating between these folks and trying to get them into place. If I don't know if she has any thoughts on economic viability, but that's a question. That's a serious question I want to get my hands around. As you look at all of this, and speaking for Chair Walters, What is economic viability here? Only one? Both? Longer? Shorter? Fan base tired out? Come on. Give me some help.
Senator Chair Shields, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Jody Hansen, and I'm the Executive Director of the Oregon Racing Commission, and I have had some discussions with ORC Chair Walters, who does send his regrets for not being able to attend today. As you heard from him a couple of weeks ago, he was saying that he wasn't really sure whether or not the state or the industry could support two types of racing. Since then, we've been talking, and he's actually seeing the bill, the dash six and amendments to 929 as something that would be an economic enhancement, and the possibility that if somebody did come and start a racetrack again, he would say, "Well, what greyhound racing?" But it's possible, and then the commission would not approve an application unless the company was economically viable. There was a good track in being built, and all of the safety and protection mechanisms were in place for the dogs. So it's a question that's up in the air. Definitely, without the year-round simulcasting, the industry is dead. And as far as Greyhound, the Greyhound simulcasting portion of it is about 20% or so of the total simulcasting revenue. We're looking at several thousands of dollars. Am I answering your question at all?
Senator, I have one more question of you. as you look at dash 5, 6s, and imagine 7, what best gets around an issue that was raised in the last hearing, which was the charge of restraint of trade?
Senator Shields, what's your particular question about that again? I'm sorry.
Maybe I'm not the best one to describe it, but as we were doing the hearings, the charge was made that you could end up with restraint of trade with, I guess it would have been Senate Bill 929 unamended. Mm-hmm. And Greyhound would have just been kind of pushed out the door. Mm-hmm. Now, that raised some eyebrows, so I just wanted to see if that is addressed in the fives or the sixes or the sevens. Is it addressed or isn't it addressed? How is it addressed? Which best addresses it, and so on?
I think that in the discussions that I've had with Chair Walters, we agree that the dash 6, because we didn't know about the dash 7 at the time, really does the best job as far as preventing that restraint of trade, if that is viewed as an issue. And a lot of people are viewing it as an issue. As government regulators who take pride in what we do, we think we do a very good job of regulating this industry. It's highly regulated in all aspects of it. We would like to make sure that everybody has an equal chance and bring business to the state of Oregon and keep the folks that work and live in the dog industry as part of, as this being a viable place to work and breed and race their dogs. It's my understanding that there's enough Oregon-bred dogs currently to run a meet right now, shorter meet. And again, just because
shorter
meaning less than, you know, like the 7 months or whatever. It's also the understanding that if the Dash 6 amendments aren't enhancing dog racing, they're actually enhancing, it's a revenue enhancement aspect as far as bringing in more revenue to the state. And also, just because there's 365 days authorized for either racing industry doesn't mean that the commission would allow that to happen if it wasn't economically viable.
Questions?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
I'm Senator George.
Sitting here, and I'm reminded of boxing and wrestling in 1997. And there were people who were personally opposed to boxing and wrestling in Oregon. And we looked up in the statute, and it said that the purpose of government involvement in this was to regulate and enhance an industry to provide for success and to make sure that animals were protected. And in that case, it was make sure that humans were protected and provide a safe and orderly event. Well, it took a while for us to move that, but we did. Now, the industry is not flourishing. I mean, the WWF isn't here yet, but we may have that happen someday. Now, you know, I would go to the event. In fact, I was challenged on the coast to enter into one of them at Newport, and I told them I would have before, but I'm getting too crippled now. But Mr. Chairman, I think this is an important point. If we send any message out of Oregon, it ought to be that we're open for business. We're willing to look at any business. We will be regulating that business. We will be make sure that animal health is considered. I don't want to ask that question of you. And that is my understanding when it comes to the care of the animals, that this is really a stellar state when it comes to how we make sure that you know, both the dog breeders and the horse breeders have made sure that we have a humane operation. Is that your, as a regulator, do you see that?
Chair Shields, Senator George, absolutely. There are both within the horse aspect and industry, as well as in the dog industry. Oregon is currently viewed as the top of the chart. We get a number of inquiries from other states that are looking at their rules and revisions and statutes for copies of ours. And there's a lot of law across the country that is basically our law. We also speak regularly at other conventions and events about our regulatory practices.
Thank you. I appreciate that input. I'm going to challenge the committee. Senator Verger needs to leave in 5 minutes. If I'm a no on just about everything, it's going to take some compromise among you guys to get anywhere today. I am aware that there's this April 30th deadline. I don't want to get in the way of that if we're able to move anything. If we aren't, then we aren't. So what I'm going to ask you in a second is to tell me, just verbally tell me what you favor, 5, 6, 7, and we'll take that into compromise before I would entertain any amendments. So you can think about that for a second. Senator George, you have another question?
Mr. Chairman, I think I've heard that there appears to be somewhat of a compromise on dash 6, and I would be prepared to move that if the other committee members can live with that.
Can't do it, Senator George, Mr. Chair. I'm a dash 3, which bans Greyhound racing flat out, or I'm a dash 5. I don't have a constituency that supports Greyhound racing. I'm fundamentally opposed to it. I don't care how good the state thinks it runs this business.
Okay.
And I did work out that compromise before. I'd forgotten about it because we had this dog bill before. I had all these people who called and wrote in and said no, no, no. So I'm a dash 3 for a dash 5.
Okay, so we got 1-6, we got 1-3 or 5. Senator Verger, where do you think you land?
Well, you know, if you're going to go on the equality thing, which Paul has brought up, and you want to try to be fair to both, one thing that I wouldn't do is tell an industry they can't go into business here. For instance, tell either one of them where you just don't have an opportunity to go into business. My goodness, we have adult fun clubs. I would hardly tell them that they couldn't have dog racing. But I will say this, you're still not equal, and I'll tell you why. The horses will have the racetrack, and the dogs have to come up with somebody to build it. So, quite frankly, I would lean to the dash sixes because I think that even though it's a matter of equality, it still isn't quite as equal in the two industries. But I would go with the dash sixes on equality.
You can be the tiebreaker, Mr. Chair?
That's not a tiebreaker. I said I was knowing everything. Did you have a comment? Is anybody interested in the conceptual dash 7, which moves it to the 10 months, which keeps the dogs in Oregon rather than moving around? And you're not, because you don't believe, no matter what.
The Humane Society does not want to extend it to 12 months. They haven't told
10
me
months,
what they
12
think
months,
about
whatever.
10 months. But I don't.
Yeah. I hate to give up without some kind of movement. Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm hoping we're doing the right thing. Well, I know we're doing the right thing. I will move the DAS 6 amendments to Senate Bill 929.
Well, you've got two people in favor of DAS 6 and one in favor of DAS 5. I'm not in favor of gambling at all.
But you have to vote, Mr. Chair.
We're going to run it up the polling. See if it flies.
Yeah, but all
no,
I,
it's a coup, Mr. Chair. It's a coup.
All I got to do is vote on this side, and I've effectively made it a 2-2 tie, which is a way of getting no gambling, too. The other option would be to wait until Senator Starr comes back, which messes some people up in terms of this deadline a little bit. I don't know for sure. He was the one that suggested the frog racing, by the way. You guys are giving me the credit for that, but he suggested it last week. Go ahead.
Mr. Chairman, I moved to dash 6. I'm going to tell you where I think we are. We're going to know when the time we get back here in the next biennium who the survivors are and whether we gave an opportunity, a spark, for an industry to maybe take off and succeed on their own. So that's my pitch.
Do you have any light to shed on this, Sarah? You've been sitting with these people arguing forever and negotiating and struggling. My thinking, and Senator Verger's getting ready to leave. There's six. Do you have any indication in your database of how Senator Starr would probably vote? Somebody want to make room for this lady at the dais? Sarah has done excellent work. She's far brighter than her boss. is in conceptual stuff. What's happened out there? You've been talking to all these people, and you have a sense of where they all are.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Sarah Chifo. I'm the legislative aide for the good senator from Southeast Portland. It's my impression, having not spoken with either Senator Saar's staff or himself directly, that he would be in favor of, I believe, the Dash 6 amendments, but that is an impression and would need to be verified.
Dash 6. One shakes his head yes, and the other probably shaking his head no.
I believe that she's interpreting Senator Saar correctly.
I do, too.
We just need a bill, Mr. Chair, whatever it does,
so
or else.
You've got three dash sixes if you have Saar, Senator Saar, and Senator George, and Senator Verger. And it would be 3-2 if I vote no, just to be a nasty old man. What I'm trying to do is get you an extra 3 or 4 days, I guess. With all respect to my good colleague, if I would vote Senator Saar's, and since they all seem to agree as to where he is, I might as well vote his vote in his absence and get this out of here. I don't know. Go ahead. You're a senator. Speak.
Well,
if you don't want me to do that, and you want to wait
until... I'm never shy about speaking. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I personally don't do that, but you're free to do that. You're the chair of the committee. I'm disappointed because I have several people in my district who support horse racing and are breeders and want me to support this bill, but I can't support it with the extension on the greyhound racing. So, unfortunately, I'm going to walk in a hard spot.
Okay. Wisdom? I'm looking for wisdom.
I'm trying to pinpoint exactly what it is about the Dash 6 is that you don't like. You don't like the Dash 5.
Right. It keeps dog racing at 7 months. I don't like dog racing at all, Senator.
Yeah,
Burgess.
Right.
I just
right. No.
don't.
No.
Flat out.
And you've got a host of people that join you.
Yeah. So the Dash 6 makes it, extends the season, makes it longer that they're out there racing. We got more dogs out there in the market. We breed more dogs who have to find homes later. And I just don't, I just have this philosophical fundamental problem.
Any other wisdom, Sarah? So your biggest objection is just that allows greyhounds to race 350 days a year.
Yes. Which is actually longer than 10 months. So.
Mr. Chair, are you going to take a vote today?
I would like to take a vote, but I guess I need to let you go because we have...
I do need to go.
I'm going to just wait till Tuesday.
We need a
then.
Bill.
Yeah, and the difference between today and Tuesday is that pretty bad for you in terms of those layoffs, which is the big thing I'm worried about?
Well, Mr. Chair, again, we need to have a clear indication to the Racing Commission that the bill can pass in a timely fashion, or else they're obliged to close down the off-track wagering system. And the discussion, personally, I don't think the discussion between 12 months and the current, the historical period that greyhound racing has been running in Oregon will make any difference in eliciting a new track to be built in the state.
Have you moved Dash 6?
I moved them. You want to
so
move?
Those are on the table, the Dash 6.
Dash 6s are on the table, and she has to leave. I'm going to ask you to call Senator Verger's name first. Let's call the question on Dash 6.
Senator Verger?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Saar?
Aye.
Oh.
Essentially. I was trying my best. Go ahead.
Senator Walker?
No.
Chair
Sheehan? Okay, I'm going to give, and I'm making this very clear, Senator Saar's vote for an aye, but I sure don't want to carry it. We'll figure that out later.
That's just the amendment.
Oh, that's an amendment?
Whoa, yeah.
That's just the amendment. All right. You got this?
Mr. Chairman.
All right. Go ahead.
I would like to move Senate Bill 929 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. We are not going anywhere else to the floor.
Yes, this is...
And rescind the subsequent referral.
All right. So Senator Saar has moved that, Senator George has moved that we rescind, he's moved that we rescind the referral to Ways and Means. We can make that case because it has a negative economic impact if we don't.
Yes.
And moves it as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Would you call the vote, please?
Wait a minute. Wait. There's discussion on that, and
discussion.
I just want to give you a heads up. I'm not the only one in my caucus or in this 30-member chamber that feels this way, so you better be certain you've got the votes to move this out. So that's.
I'm not worried about it because I'm against it all. I'm just voting STARS vote.
It's going to be an uphill battle.
I'm a no on the floor. How's that?
Okay.
But I still want to get this out of here.
Mm-hmm.
Would you call the roll?
Senator Berger?
Aye.
Senator George?
Aye.
Senator Starr?
No.
Chair Shields?
Aye.
Thank you.
We're going to close the work session on Senate Bill 929 and get it out of here. I don't ever want to see it again.
Who's carrying the bill?
Who's going to carry this?
The guy who believes in economic development.
Senator Starr.
Yeah, let's give it to Senator Starr. He can carry it.
Okay.
Now can I go take a shower?
No,
never mind. It's my reaction to the whole thing. I still think we'd be better off racing frogs.
I think we add frogs. I'll propose that in the bill.
Yeah, right. I did actually have maybe I'm an emotional guy, but I had a young mother mm-hmm. with a child who got a pink slip a couple days ago relative to this bill. So that kind of, okay, where are we?
We are opening work session on Senate Bill 4.
We're opening a work session on Senate Bill 4. Tell me about Senate Bill 4.
Thank you, Mr. Chair members. Senate Bill 4 relates to bonding for seismic rehabilitation. And I will, in the interest of time, Senate Bill 4 deals with rehabilitation of public education buildings. Senate Bill 5, which we'll be dealing with next, deals exactly the same language except with respect to rehabilitation of emergency services buildings. So Senate Bill 4 authorizes the state treasurer to issue that would be 11-M bonds, establishes the bond fund and the bond administration fund. It authorizes the bond proceeds to be deposited in the funds and expended to finance the state's share of costs to implement seismic rehabilitation, in this case of public education buildings. You have before you the -1 amendments, which actually replaced the original bill. And as I stated before, the -1 amendments are going to be exactly the same for the Senate Bill 5. So listen carefully because this all will apply to the next bill we're hearing. The -1 amendments defines the terms with respect to the bond sale that makes it consistent with terms in other statutes authorizing state bonds. It provides that the bonds are general obligation bonds of the state of Oregon and payable from a general fund appropriation. It prohibits ad valorem taxes from being pledged to pay those bonds. It allows the state treasurer, with concurrence of the Department of Administrative Services director, to issue the bonds subject to specified limits and refunds. It allows the state treasurer to transfer bond proceeds to the Office of Emergency Management for deposit in the Emergency Services Seismic Fund. It creates a bond fund in state treasury to hold monies that will be used to pay the debt service on the outstanding bonds. It creates a bond administration fund in the state treasury to hold the monies used to pay the costs related to issuance and ongoing administration. It creates the seismic fund to hold the net proceeds from the bond sale and to be distributed for seismic projects by the Office of Emergency Management. It allows unexpended monies from the seismic fund to be transferred for administration purposes to the bond administration fund. It authorizes the state treasurer to structure the bond sale consistent with other state bond programs. It requires DASIS to submit a budget request for debt service to be paid from the general fund in each biennium that bonds are outstanding. And finally, it acknowledges that bonds issued for the 2005-07 biennium have not gone through the usual bond process and authorizes an amount that's, of course, left blank in this bill because it does have a subsequent referral to Ways and Means. So it authorizes an amount of bonds to be issued for the 2005-07 biennium. And again, Senate Bill 4 deals with the rehabilitation of public education building for seismic upgrades. Again, also subsequent referral to Ways and Means. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Senator George has a question.
Mr. Chairman, I'm reading from the Senate President's testimony, and Judith, he stated very eloquently, by the way, right here. Peter said I wasn't supporting him enough, so I'm just getting back on track here. Okay. Subject to available funds, the amendments don't affect that. In other words, there still will be that discretion because it'll be a general fund covering the cost.
General fund, let me make sure that subject to the limit of the...
And we are still, this is in effect, implementing the vote of the people in 2002? With the bills that we'd referred out.
That's right. Yeah, that's right.
Okay. Senator Walker is back in the room. Are there any other questions? And this would be on the Dash 1 amendments on Senate Bill 4.
I'm good to go on that.
Senator George, I need a motion or a commotion, whichever you want.
Yeah. On Senate Bill 1, the Senate Bill 4, I'd like to move the Dash 1 amendments.
Okay, Senator George moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 4. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, Dash 4 amendments are adopted. Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 4 are adopted. Go ahead, Senator George.
And I would like to move Senate Bill 4 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee.
That's what's going on. Yeah, Ways and Means. Isn't that exciting?
I like passing the buck today.
Yeah. Senator George moves Senate Bill 4 as amended with a Dash 1 amendments to Ways and Means with a due pass.
I was going to ask if we want a recommendation. I would.
Due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senate Bill 5, just Senator George, it's all the same thing. The difference is, I've opened a work session, did it not?
9 and 5, there you can see it. Correct. Mr. Chair, Senate Bill 5 and the Dash 1 amendment again replaces the bill to do exactly the same thing, all related to emergency services building now for those seismic rehabilitations.
Okay. Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5.
Senator George moves the Dash 1 amendments to Senate Bill 5. Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator George.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would like to move the Senate Bill 5 as amended to the Ways and Means Committee again with a due pass recommendation.
Senator George moves Senate Bill 5 as amended with the Dash 1 amendments to the Ways and Means Committee. Is that right, Judith?
That's right.
Is there any discussion? Is there any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. And the work session on Senate Bill 5 is closed. We are probably going to meet next Tuesday, it seems. We're developing an agenda. It may involve SAFE. Are you in town?
yes, Mr.
Okay. And it may involve a few other odds and ends. It will certainly involve Senate Bill 471, which is Frank Morris's bill. It was supposed to go first today, but we got delayed, couldn't get in here, and so we'll do it first on Tuesday. Okay? And with that, the hearing is adjourned.